So today, which is 19th of August 2016, we are starting the new chapter of Bhagavatam from the 10th canto, chapter 6. One of the very famous pastime of the Lord, killing the demon Putana, who ultimately achieved the position of a mother in the spiritual world, which is really amazing, demon attaining such a position. And also today is the anniversary day of departure of Srila Prabhupada to his worldwide preaching to America. And we will read a little bit from excerpts from Satsvarupa Maharaja's book from Prabhupada's Lilamrita. So today a summary of the sixth chapter is as follows, that when Nanda Maharaj, following the instructions of Vasudeva, was returning home, he saw a great demoniac woman lying on the road, and then he heard about her death. While Nanda Maharaj, the king of Raj, was thinking about Vasudeva's words concerning disturbances in Gokul, he was a little afraid and sought shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Hari. Meanwhile, Kamsa sent to the village of Gokul a Rakshasi named Putana, who was wandering here and there killing small babies. Of course, wherever there is no Krishna consciousness, there is a danger of such Rakshasis. But since the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself was in Gokul, Putana could accept nothing there but her own death. One day, Putana arrived from outer space in Gokul, the home of Nanda Maharaj, and by displaying her mystic power, she assumed the disguise of a very beautiful woman. Taking courage, she immediately entered Krishna's bedroom without anyone's permission. By the grace of Krishna, no one forbade her to enter the house or the room, because that was Krishna's desire. The baby Krishna, who resembled a fire covered by ashes, looked upon Putana and thought that he would have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman. Shishi Radha Kukulanand ki, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Yes, Krishna would have to kill this demon, the beautiful woman, he thought. Enchanted by the influence of yoga, maya, and the personality of Godhead, Putana took Krishna upon her lap, and neither Rohini nor Yashoda objected. So the demon Putana offered her breast for Krishna to suck, but her breast was smeared with poison. The child Krishna, therefore, squeezed Putana's breast so severely that in unbearable pain, she had to assume her original body and fell to the ground. Then Krishna began playing on her breast just like a small child. When Krishna was playing, the gopis were pacified and took the child away to their own laps. After this incident, the gopis took precautions because of the attack of the Rakshasi. Mother Yashoda gave the child her breast to suck and then laid him in bed. Meanwhile, Nanda and his associates, the cowherd men, returned from Mathura, and when they saw the great dead body of Putana, they were struck with wonder. Everyone was astonished that Vasudeva had foretold this mishap, and they praised Vasudeva for his power of foresight. The inhabitants of Vraj cut the gigantic body of Putana into pieces. But because Krishna had sucked her breast, she had been freed from all sins. And therefore, when the cowherd men burned the pieces of her body in a fire, the smoke filled the air with a very pleasing fragrance. Ultimately, although Putana had desired to kill Krishna, she attained the Lord's abode. And from this incident, we gain the instruction that if one is attached to Krishna somehow or other, even as an enemy, one ultimately attains success. So what then is to be said of devotees who are naturally attached to Krishna in love? When the inhabitants of Vraj heard about the killing of Putana and the welfare of the child, they were very much satisfied. Nanda Maharaj took the baby Krishna on his lap and was filled with satisfaction. So today we start with text number 1. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered that what Vasudeva has said could not be false or useless. So there must have been some danger of disturbances in Gokul. As Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son, Krishna, he was afraid, and he took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller. Purport. Whenever there is danger, the pure devotee thinks of the protection and shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also advised in Bhagavad Gita 9:33, Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvamam. In this material world, there is danger at every step, Padam Padam Yad Vipadam Natisham. Therefore, a devotee has no other course than to take shelter of the Lord at every step. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitamena Bhutare Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Shri Shuka Vacha Nanda Pati Vacha Shaurir Nam Rishiti Vichintayan Harim Jagama Sharanam Utpagama Shankittaha. Shukadeva Goswami said that, "My dear King, while Nanda Maharaj was on the way home, he considered that what Vasudeva has said could not be false or useless. There must have been some danger of disturbances in Gokul. And as Nanda Maharaj thought about the danger for his beautiful son Krishna, he was afraid, and he took shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Controller." Yes. We see that even at the time of Lord Krishna. Yes, at that time it is said that the demons were taking forms of the demons and they were personified. In Kali Yuga, its situation is even worse when the demoniac qualities are sitting in the heart of a living entity and gives so much disturbance to everyone. But in any case, the solution or the remedy which being given and taught in this particular shloka by Shukadeva Goswami in reply to Maharaj Parikshit is that in any case, as Srila Prabhupada says, in any case, a pure devotee is always thinks of the protection and shelter of the Supreme Lord. But it's interesting to note that Nanda Maharaj didn't thought of his son as being the Lord. He didn't thought of his son as being Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even when Upananda, his brother, sometimes was kind of chastising Nanda Maharaj, saying, "Look, Nanda, your son is God. You cannot punish him like an ordinary child. He is all powerful. He is all pure. How can you chastise your boy? He is God himself. Nanda Maharaj was looking at Upananda and was thinking, telling him, "My dear brother, what are you talking about? My son is a naughty boy. And in order he would grow in a gentleman, good man, I have to chastise him. I have to teach him. He should listen to his father. How can you say that he is all pure? My wife, Yashoda, she is changing the dress to Krishna every now and then. As soon as he goes to the yard, he immediately rolls the dust. He rides the cows, holding them by tail. You know, he's such a naughty boy. He is always dirty. What do you speak him being pure, supreme pure? He eats dirt just, you know, recently. My wife caught him eating the dirt. So how can you call him all pure? He is all dirt." Upananda doesn't know what to reply. Nanda Maharaj continue. He says, "How you can call my little Krishna all powerful? Because whenever there is rain and there is lightning and thunder, in great fear he runs at me and says, 'Father, Pita, Pita, let me stay with you. I'm so afraid of this thunder.'" So, you know, he's fearful. He's fearful of natural happenings in the nature. "Upanandaji, don't tell me these things. He's just my boy. He is just my boy." And it's always like that. It was always like that. Whomever told Nanda Maharaj, "You know, your son is God," he was always replying, "I don't know what you are speaking about. Krishna is my boy. He's my boy. He's my son." But we see that, yes, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, we see that he lets us to remember and understand that this world is anityam asukham. We know sukha dukkha, yeah? Matra sparshastu kantya sitoshna sukha dukkha. This world is always changing. There is so-called happiness, and of course so-called dukkha, suffering. But it's all in mind. And it's all suffering. Only conditioned soul, mesmerized by dualities of this world, thinks, "Oh, there is happiness and there is distress." Actually, it's all distress. It's just dukkha, dukkha. It's endless suffering, dukkha. And here we see that this world is anityam asukam. And Srila Prabhupada gives the reference to the shloka from Bhagavad Gita, "Kim punar brahmana punya bhaktarajashayastata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvimam." That this world is temporary, miserable. So the best solution and the best engagement in this world is engaging in loving service. So this in the shloka, Lord Krishna glorifies the brahmanas. The brahmanas who engage in devotional service, the devotees and sainly kings, rajarshis. Of course, there is another shloka in Bhagavad Gita where Lord Krishna just before that. He also calls this world Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Yes? Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Temporary. Anityam or Ashashvatam, you can say. Dukalayam. Yeah? Place of misery. Or you can call Asukam Lokam. So he says, Mam Upetya Punarjanma. Dukalayam Ashashvatam. Napnuvanti Mahatmanah. Samsidhim paramam gattaha. Lord Krishna tells Arjuna that the great souls, he says, yogis in devotion. Yes? Devoted yogis. Of course, bhakti yogis. Never return to this temporary world which is full of miseries, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, because they have attained the highest perfection. And Krishna explains how. Janma karma cha medivyam. Just studying the appearance, pastimes of the Lord, such personalities achieve attraction to the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains, saying that since this temporary material world is full of miseries, like birth, old age, disease, death. So naturally, who achieves the highest perfection attains the supreme planet, Krishna. Krishna Lok, Golok Vrindavan. It's Nitya Loka. Yeah? It's Nitya Loka. And such a person does not wish anymore to return to material world. So supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyakta Akshara Paramagati. In other words, the planet is beyond our material vision and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination for Mahatmas, the great souls. So today we read that Nanda Maharaj was on the way home. On the other hand, we are also on the way home, back to Godhead. And Nanda Maharaj was actually back to his home, to the residence where his family, Yashoda, kids, Rohini, there. So, he already lived in this world, in Vrindavan, in the world of Avyaktakshara Paramagati. And the devotees also, when they stay in the temple, they actually live in the spiritual world. And every morning, if we are present in the deity worship, or deity greeting, it's just what's better, more beautiful you can see in this world. You know, every day there are real lordships, there are real masters of the devotees, who every morning drink the nectar of the appearance of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, of Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman, amazingly dressed, flowers, and such an amazing festival number one throughout the year of the devotees, Shri Janmashtami Mahotsavake, and such massive preparations I have never seen in my life. You know, cooking already for more than a week and ahead, cooking such massive preparations. So I'm really, really, really impressed about how Janmashtami is going to be celebrated. I only heard about grand Janmashtamis in Bhaktivedanta manner, but now I can see the reality. So Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport, saying that the Mahatmas, they receive transcendental message from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. Why? Because they already stay in the temple at the lotus feet of the deities and perform pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada says, as long as you perform pure devotional service, you are a pure devotee. And that is the highest perfection of life. This is very specifically mentions the personalist devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are supreme souls. It's all about you. Going back to the story, we see that Putana, why Putana ended up so lucky, being so lucky. What was the prehistory of her life? Why she had such a unimaginable luck? Take Krishna on her lap. And nobody could object. So actually in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Putana had been Ratnamala. Ratnamala in her previous life, her sister of Bali Maharaj, younger sister of Bali Maharaj. Can you imagine being the sister of the Lord of the universe? Bali Maharaj even kicked Indra out of King Indra Loka. You know, he conquered everyone. All the universe was under him. He was not just an emperor of the planet, like Maharaj Yudhishthira, Maharaj Parikshit. No, he was the emperor of the universe. Lower planetary system, earthly, heavenly. Can you imagine such emperor nowadays? Whew. Politicians fight, you know, for minor things. Try to hold their officer chairs. But Bali Maharaj was like the emperor of the universe. And Sister Ratnamala, of course, being a sister of such a personality, definitely you will be spoiled. You know, you can do anything you want, you can have anything you want, you can go anywhere you want. So when Lord Vamana came into the assembly of Bali Maharaja's palace, everyone was astonished by this 5-year-old brahmachari boy, looking like the epitome of saintliness and sweetness. In his deer skin with a belt of straw and an effulgence even brighter than the sun. So everyone was like immediately attracted to him. Immediately. Such a small boy already on such a saintly path. So when Ratnamala saw this beautiful little boy, she became overwhelmed with maternal feelings towards him, and understanding her desire, the Lord spoke to her, giving her the benediction that in her next life she would be able to suckle him just like a mother. And the next life. So Putana was her next life. But what's the problem? Why she was so inimical? You know, getting such a benediction, blessing from the Lord, and what happened that next life, she had to take birth as a demoness, actually. Actually, however, shortly after this, Lord Vamana took the whole universe from Bali. And that means that Ratnamala, she lost her privileges, all the privileges, yes? Her brother, Bali Maharaj, was arrested. So she was furious. She was furious. Such a nice, cute boy. So expertly manipulated everyone around. And so expertly just, you know, in a moment time, took all the universe away. So, you know, for the lady, she lived in the palace. She had palaces in every planet, you know, in every world. And now she ended up with nothing. Her brother imprisoned. How you can love such a person? So therefore, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopalananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So, Ratnamala's mood of attraction for the Lord changed into a hatred. Within her mind, she thought, perhaps I will have you as my son and breastfed you. But if I do so, I will then kill you. So you know, this is the nature of a mundane mentality, mundane mind. At some point, if you've been petted, benefited, oh, then you are a friend of that person, then you glorify him, then you are attracted to him. But as soon as you've been chastised or punished, wow. And especially if you lose the objects for gratification. Huh? That's it. You will become the enemy number one of that person. And this is all about a mundane mind contaminated by the desire for sense gratification. So we see Ratmala is being taken away all her objects, all her toys. Yeah? But we see that when Krishna sucked out the prana through her breasts, she died but did not attain the same type of liberation most enemies of Krishna attain, Brahman. Yeah? Impersonal liberation. Most enemies relinquish their ego entirely and become homogeneous within consciousness itself, Brahman. But Putana instead developed a bhakti ego. Bhakti ego. Interesting, huh? And attained thereby a personal form in Krishna Leela as one of his wet nurses. Because her initial primary feeling was one of the affection for him, Krishna held on to this and disregarded her secondary, later feeling of anger over his arguable treatment of Bali. So this shows that Krishna is not flawed by pride, anger, and forgiveness, which is the case in conditioned living entity. So one of the verses in Bhagavatam about this is one of the three verses Vyasa sent his students into the forest reciting, which succeeded in bringing Shukadeva Goswami back to learn the whole Bhagavatam from Vyasa. Yes? The pastime of Putana was one of the attractive pastimes which attracted Shukadeva Goswami's mind. Yes. So, yes. Today is the day of Srila Prabhupada's departure for preaching in the West, and we can't ignore that because all of us are here in this wonderful, one of the most amazing temples throughout the world. Srila Prabhupada established installing Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda deities, what, 1973, August, on Janmashtami Day that year. So all of us, we have to be thankful, grateful, extremely grateful to Srila Prabhupada that now we are sitting daily, reading, studying Bhagavatam, purifying our hearts, intelligences, studying Bhagavatam, having opportunity to worship amazing deities, and gradually, gradually advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada was saying that I planned that I must go to America under the request of his spiritual master. Generally, he says, they go to London. Srila Prabhupada says, generally they go to London. But I did not want to go to London. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur had sent his disciples previously to London, but they didn't succeed. So Srila Prabhupada says, I was simply thinking of how to go to New York, and I was scheming whether I shall go this way through Tokyo, Japan, or that way. Which way is cheaper? That was my proposal, and I was targeting New York always. Sometimes I was dreaming that I have come to New York. Srila Prabhupada was sometimes even dreaming being at New York already. Yeah? So we see that actually as a traditional Brahmana, it is not advised, or the one who is follower of the Shastra Vedas, is not advised to leave Bharatvarsha. But for the higher purpose, and the higher purpose is us, conditioned soul, for whom Srila Prabhupada sacrificed his rest life. So Satsvarupa Maharaj elaborates, writing in Lilamrita, that after the 35-day journey, more than a month, from Calcutta, the Jaladuta reached Boston's Commonwealth Pier at 5:30 a.m. on September 17, 1965. So the ship was to stop briefly in Boston before proceeding to New York City. Among the first things Srila Prabhupada saw in America were the letters A and P painted on the pier front warehouse. The gray waterfront dawn revealed the ships in the harbor, the conglomeration of lobster stands and drab buildings, and rising in the distance the Boston skyline. Srila Prabhupada had to pass through U.S. Immigration and Customs in Boston, and his visa allowed him a 3-day stay, and an unofficial stamped it to indicate his expected date of departure. So Captain Pandya invited Prabhupada to take a walk in to Boston, where the captain intended to do some shopping. They walked across the footbridge into a busy commercial area with old churches, warehouses, office buildings, bars, tawdry bookshops, nightclubs, and restaurants. Prabhupada briefly observed the city, but the most significant thing about his short stay in Boston, aside from the fact that he had now set foot in America, was that at Commonwealth Pier, he wrote another Bengali poem entitled Markini Bhagavata Dharma, or Teaching Krishna Consciousness in America. Some of the verses he wrote on board the ship that day were as follows. So these are the prayers of Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now, you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here, otherwise why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance of passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva Krishna. I do not know. I don't know how they will be able to understand it, but I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because they are most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can understand. They can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them, and therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How well I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness, I am very unfortunate, very unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of the all worlds, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Srila Prabhupada signed this poem, "The Most Unfortunate, Insignificant Beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on the board ship Jaladut, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, 18th September 1965. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanumanji ki. Gaura Priyamanandi.